Oh, isn't he a good and faithful father? You know, this week, Steve had surgery. He's doing well. He's kind of stubborn, and he was just sure he could get up the day after surgery and go do a bunch of stuff, and he kind of paid for it. So he decided yesterday to be a little bit kinder to his body, and he felt a lot better. And so he's not able to come, but I'm believing after Monday he'll be back where he needs to be, and as the doctor told me, better than ever. So I believe that. And thank you to those who just prayed. I want to tell you, the day before surgery, we were talking, and Steve said to me, he said, "Gay, people are praying for me today." I said, "How do you know?" He said, "I can feel such a peace and a love coming over me." Never doubt the power of your prayer, because God is answering. So thank you for that, for loving us. So I want to talk today about if it matters, you make time. Because everybody in this room is going to have an it. Right? Everybody in here is going to have an it. But here's the thing. This couple of weeks, I've been in some different situations than I've ever been in. And my husband said to me a couple of weeks ago, "You know, Gay, who knows if you've been called for such a time as this?" And the Passion Translation says selected. And so that's out of Esther 4:14. So I got to thinking, and I said, "Honey, I don't feel that. I'm not a beauty queen. Like, that's not the thing." And he's like, "Gay, I'm just telling you, I keep hearing that. This is, you know," and I was like, "Whatever," you know. Just really blew it off, because to me, that story is about a young girl arising to be a beautiful queen. And I know the story of Purim. You and I know it. We study it. We want to know what the Word of God says. So I got in the other room and I was like, "Really, God? I don't want to be an Esther. You know, like, I don't want beauty treatments for 2 years. You know, I'm past that, okay? You know, I got the fight for the wrinkle, okay, but, you know, that's kind of old." And I heard the Lord say, "You're missing the whole point. This isn't a beauty contest. When I say for such a time as this, I'm calling you to war." Are you listening today? Because God has positioned us not only to go to war, not with one another, but there's an enemy who's a liar, and he's not only a liar, but he's a defeated liar. And God is saying for such a time as this, whatever our past adversity, whatever's happened to us, he's going to call us in. Did you ever have your plan interrupted? Yeah, oh, I'm talking. Thank you, church. They're awake today, Jesus. So yes, yes. You know, young mothers, you're in a hurry. You're trying to get out the door. And what happens? You have to stop and change a diaper. And you're like, "Really? Really? This is going to happen to me?" Young people, you know, you're taking a test and you're trying to study, and somebody calls and says, "Hey, let's start up a game of basketball." And you're like, "Okay." And your plans are interrupted. How about you really think that you're going to save that much money? Then all of a sudden, whammarama, and something happens. But instead of saying, "Praise God, I have the money," right? We feel like our plans are interrupted. I am telling you today, no longer am I living in my plan. I'm living in God's plan. Because when you're living in God's plan, you're not going to be interrupted and you're not going to be disappointed. You're going to be anointed and you're going to be waiting to see how God's going to handle things, because he's going to handle things. So I just want to encourage you today. We're going to look at the story of Esther. Now, I want to talk first about the past. There's a timing and a placement from the past. So the first thing I want to look at from the past is that Esther's parents have died, and she's left to go live with her cousin Mordecai. Now, some people say he's an uncle. Some say a cousin. It's really irrelevant. The point is her whole foundation has been shaken. I don't know about anybody else in here, but when I lost both my parents, I felt rootless and orphaned, okay? And I'm like in my 50s, and I'm like, "I don't have parents anymore." I don't know what it was that happened to me. But here she is in this situation. But I want you to know something. In this situation, God allowed Esther to be born to those parents. God allowed those parents to go to heaven, and God allowed her to be moved from the place where she knew his home to be placed in the land of Shushan. Some say Susa, Shushan, however you want to call it, to be moved and positioned to that place. It's still all God. Whatever's in your past that you think you got the unfair deal on, you're going to either agree with the devil and look at it in a negative way, or you're going to say, God, I'm fastening my seatbelt. Let's see how this is going to turn out for good. And that's where we need to be. There was a change of name and identity. She was known as Hadassah, which means myrtle. And the myrtle plant is a plant that smells really good, but it tastes really bitter. And myrtle was the tree from the land of Babylon where they'd been taken into captivity. Oh, yeah, everybody's like, oh, well, you know, you're going to be provided for here. Yeah, it smells good, but it tastes bitter. But I want to tell you what the people of Israel did when they left captivity. They took the myrtle tree with them that was made and was had its origins in Babylon, native to Babylon, and they took that tree and they planted it in Israel to remind them that they were no longer a captive but free. So the very thing that was intended to cause them to remember bad times, they said, we're going to use this as a marker for how God will cause us to overcome. So her name was no longer Hadassah, what her parents intended, but it had been changed to Esther because she's now in Persia. So I want you to know also that in Zechariah 1:8, it says that it's like the myrtle, that the righteous return to Jerusalem. They are like those of the myrtle. And what he's really talking about are the prophets. They're known with them. It's a good thing. Whatever the enemy intends for bad, God intends it for good. Now there was a change of culture, but there wasn't a change of character. From the past, she had to change the way that things were done. I want to tell you something about the culture of this world today. It can tell you that you have to change certain things to please certain people. But in our homes, the character of God needs to not just be taught, but lived. I'm going to teach my children what the truth is, and I'm going to live it before them. So, you know, the grandkids are here, you know, this past week. And I think that they like to challenge me and give me hard things to see how I'm going to come out of it. So, yeah, so they're talking to me about things that are going on at school and what some people say, and they kind of, honey. And so, you know, they're like, and I'm like, what is it? And they're like, well, do you think it's okay if I kiss a girl? You know, and they're laughing. And I'm like, guys, I want to tell you something. God has given you, and right away you can see, you know, 2 out of 5 start rolling their eyes. God has given you a place where love is intended and where love will carry you through and encouragement. So I'm all about you wanting to kiss somebody, but I want you to wait until God tells you it's time to kiss them. Then they get serious. And Grayson's like, how am I going to know that? And I said, well, Grayson, I'm going to tell you how you're going to know it. I said, you're going to meet some little girl, and she's going to have more power over you than you do. And he said, that's never going to happen. I said, then you'll never kiss a girl. So you don't have to have all the answers. But I did tell him, I said, guys, when it's time, God will lead you. And I want you to know right now, they call me honey, grandkids, honey's praying. And I want you to know that you're going to have a godly spouse. That's going to happen in your life. Because honey prayed for your mom and your dad all their life that they would have a godly spouse. And there was a time, guys, where I remember days when I would hear the Lord say to me, especially Tammy and Kern, especially over Tiffany. And I guess at that time she had to be 7 to 9, I'm guessing is the age frame. But I would hear the Lord say, she's having a hard time today. You better pray over her. And I just start praying and interceding for that person. And, you know, Charity, you know, she had all these boyfriends. And I'd be like, is that the one? Is this the one? The Lord would be like, don't try to figure it out. Just keep praying. So I'd keep praying over them. And I told the kids that. And I said, guys, I saw people come and I saw people go, but God gave me a peace when it was time. And Grayson said, because that's our mom and our dad. I was like, yeah. And my mom, you're my mom's mom? And I said, yes. And Mackenzie said, then you need to spank her because she's been telling me what to do. And I had to say no, because that's God's order. So you see what I'm saying? No matter what level they're on, we keep teaching them. Now, Hadassah, Esther's parents, had taught her about God. And now she's in a situation with Mordecai. So no matter if the culture's changed, and you're going to see in this story where it's going to try to change her character, but the teaching is going to come back. Here's what you need to know about this story. When God said, we're going to war, this is a call to war, not a call to a beauty pageant. Thank God. Okay. So I began to think about that. What does that really mean? In this story of Esther, there is not the word God. There is not the word Jesus. There is not the word prayer. Okay. That's not in this story. Why do you think that's important? Because I think today it's important, because they can take away the name God. They can take away the name Jesus. They can tell you when and how you can pray, but it will not take away our right to serve Him and live out His principles and see victory wherever we are. So, man, then I want you to realize in the past that the man she's going to marry, the King Xerxes, he was born 16 years before Esther. Is Isaiah here today? Hello, handsome. That's just like Isaiah getting up right now and going back to the nursery and picking him a bride. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry my grandkids aren't here today. I'd give them to you. I'm telling you. He's a great man. But here's the thing. Think about that. 16 years older than her. This is the past, but there's a timing and there's a placement. Then you come in, and here's Vashti. Some say Vashti, however you want to say it. She was then disposed 4 years before Esther and the king ever met. That's going to be like one of our girls from the preteen class now. She's in the preteen class, and she's fixing to be called up to go into a harem to be prepared for the king. Yeah. So while we have our customs and the things we've said are right or wrong, you need to realize that a young girl can handle a lot more than we're giving them credit for. And that a lot of our young girls are being put in the harem of the world and saying, give yourself over to young men and be a tool to be used. And I want to tell you, we need to begin to pray and say over our young women and our young men, you're better than that. You're not a dumpster. You're someone to be invested into, not to be taken away from. And let me just say, any teen girls in here, raise your hand. Oh, come on. There's my pew right there. Anybody else? Yeah. Let me tell you something. This isn't a beauty pageant. Quit letting people tell you that sexy is your value, because we're at war. And you're going to have a great life, and you're going to have a great husband, and you're going to have somebody who appreciates you and doesn't want to use you, and you're not going to have the emotional scars left over from these relationships to take into it, but you're going to be whole and healed, and you're going to know how to say, hey, I am a child of God. And we're going to move forward. So I'm going. Ooh, come on with me. So, yes. But here's the whole thing. So while Vashti's been disposed of, who do you think it was that allowed the situation for her to be disposed of? Sure, the devil was in it. But did God use it and say, go ahead, see if you can mess up my plan? See, that's the problem. We stop with what he does and doesn't realize that God is greater than whatever the enemy does. But he is. So then God not only caused that, but some scholars believe that what King Xerxes, he had this 18-month drunken party to show how great he was and bragging and brought all these people in. And you know who he brought in this time? He brought in Haman. Some say Haman. He brought him in because he didn't belong there. He was from Edom. So he's got all these different nations there represented. And their cups, the cups from that the men were drinking in were individually made gold cups. None of them were alike from all these nations, okay? So he was showing off his wealth. He had a lot of pride. Some scholars believe that because they were so drunk that he actually asked Vashti to appear naked and only wear her crown. Because we know that she refused to wear the crown and she refused to show up in front of him. So whatever it was, she just said, not going to happen. Okay? So yeah, now you're thinking, oh, this couldn't get any worse. God is using whatever the world does in their drunken state to align you and me for the place of battle, because there's a victory he wants to be had. And at the end of every victory, God's going to get the glory. Would you just say God's going to get the glory? Y'all, I really think he likes us to say that. So good for you. So here's the next thing that we see from the past and the placement. Esther lived in the palace for 5 years before Haman came into power. Five is the number of grace. Now, during this time, she's found a lot of favor. And during this time, she has to realize, you know, everybody's saying, oh, she's so beautiful. But God gave her, please listen to me, God gave her her beauty in her mother's womb. There wasn't a beauty treatment that did it. A year in aloes and oils and a year in perfumes. No, no. God gave her her beauty in her mother's womb. And I want you to know that God's purposes for you began in the womb. God's purposes for you began in your mother's womb. And no matter what your mama did, your daddy did, your sister did, or anybody yo else know, God's purposes are going to prevail for you unless you get in agreement with the enemy and get out of agreement with God. So, Saul then came along. Gay, how does Saul fit into this story? Well, Saul was born 500 years before Esther. But Saul didn't follow the plan of God. Do you remember? He said, hey, I want you to go in against the Amalekites, and I want you to totally and utterly destroy them. Did he do it? Who knows that? Did he do it? No, he did not, because he thought he knew better. So when Saul did not kill all the Amalekites, guess what happened? 500 years later, there's a king from the country, and he's an Agagite king, ruler, and his name is Haman. But he is from, even though he's an Agagite, he is from the descendant and the bloodline of the Amalekites. And because Saul didn't destroy him, he still got a grudge. So he's coming in, and he didn't just have a grudge against the enemy that he sees the Jews. That's who he believed was the enemy still at that time. He's got the grudge from that. But he's also got a grudge now because he meets Mordecai, who will not bow down to him, because he's now moving into the palace. Well, I want you to know, for some of you today, your it, when I'm talking about if it matters, you make time, you're going to prioritize whatever it is. Some of us have stopped because we believe it, our past failures, it, a failure from someone in a past generation, can hold us back from God wants for us today. And that's a lie. Thank you. It'll go a lot quicker if you'll just do that faster. So here's the thing. We come in and they get an agreement, right, with the lie. And here's what happens. If Esther had said, well, if Saul hadn't, follow me, we wouldn't be here. The genealogy of your enemy is not important. The genealogy of your bloodline is. And my blood is Jesus Christ's blood. I am a child of God. And so here's the thing. I can be a tattletale. Dad, do you know what he said about me today? Dad, did you hear? Dad, yeah, we can tell him. But don't let your it be that what you did is greater than what God can do. How many in this room, by show of hands, will say, you know what? I have a past that if it was analyzed, most of you wouldn't like me. Raise your hand. Look at that. We do stand in the... This is all glory to God. Yeah? Because we know who we were, so we're more grateful now because of who He is. Your it is not bigger for you to stop what God has for your life. Your it is the reason to give God glory and keep moving forward. And if you are stuck today in bondage because of what you've done in your past, I'm imploring you. I want you to hear me today. It is time to be set free and let that bondage go. You are not bigger than the power of God. Guaranteed by the blood of Jesus. So, now let's talk about the present. We've got some problems, and there's a focus. Whenever problems come, we start with the focus, right? So, seemingly, evil just appears out of nowhere. For 5 years, Esther and the king are happy, like he's so in love with her. And you got to realize, at this point, he's like 40, and she's like 15, maybe 16. Okay, when they married. That's like how it was. Yeah? You know, eye candy on his arm, you know, whatever. So then now, 5 years has passed, so she's about 20, 21, and he's 45. How in the world, in all this bliss, what has happened now that evil has come in seemingly out of nowhere? Because remember, Haman was just in the palace. He wasn't the chief advisor in chapters 1 and 2. That wasn't the name of the one who got rid of Vashti, right? But now, all of a sudden, he's got this authority. And what I want you to hear is this. Isaiah 59:19 says that the enemy comes in like a flood. I believe not just in this story, but the battle God is talking about for me and for you today is we feel like we have been overtaken by a flood of darkness. I feel like my nation has been overtaken by a flood of darkness. I feel like school systems are being overtaken by a flood of evil because it's no longer about your kids learning. It's about sex. It's about how you're going to party. It's not even about knowledge. It's about what you look like when you're coming to get the knowledge. And the poor teachers, I mean, if you need a prayer thing, that there you go. Let's start praying for our teachers. Dear Lord, it's a battlefield. So evil seemingly appears out of nowhere. Psalms 18:4, David says, floods of ungodly men made me fear. But Lord, I want to tell you something. Your name is greater. Do you remember Pastor Dalen Sanders? How many of you were here when the tsunami hit and Pastor Sanders came here after he left the White House? You remember that? Yeah. And he told the story about how they were in the orphanage, and it was a Sunday morning. And he said that the kids in the orphanage, when they heard about the tsunami, they were on the low land. There were people who lived in the higher lands. And when they got the call, everybody started going to the higher ground. You can't depend on the earth to save you. And Pastor Sanders said he knew that it was going to, you know, take them. But he remembered that scripture out of Isaiah. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. And he said he got in that little boat. They had one boat with one motor. And he put 30 kids in the boat. And they took a sheep or a goat and a monkey with them. And the people from the orphanage. And he said he knew, I'm going to face it. So he got in the boat, he turned the motor on, and he started going towards the tsunami. Does that make sense to anybody? Was there anybody else in the whole country going into the tsunami? No. But guess what? The Muslims were watching from the high place. The unbelievers were watching from the high place. That crazy man in the boat with those kids. And Pastor Sanders says that when it came in, he got up and it's like it took him up like a surfboard onto the top of the wave and they rode it back in on dry ground and the water receded. And they all lived. And everybody else that the water hit died. And in Steve's office is a Bible that was left on the ground that Pastor Sanders gave to him, and a sippy cup. And I want to tell you something. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God's going to raise up a standard. But here she is, and evil has appeared out of nowhere. This man who belonged in Edom, this man who wasn't even from the bloodline of the kings, this man now has more authority than the princes. Then, during this 5-year period, Xerxes decides that he's going to go into battle with Rome. So there's a defeat in battle, and it brings depression to the whole kingdom because he's been defeated in battle. So here's the thing. Haman rises, Xerxes is defeated by Rome, so it cost him a lot of pride from the 180-day, you know, party. He's lost a lot of money. He's kind of feeling, you know, like he's not, doesn't have the wealth that a king should have. And there's also been a month of separation between Esther and the king at this point. He's not gone to her. Now, here's a little side note. So it may be a little embarrassing to some of you, but let me just be honest with you. Don't spend a month in anger apart from your spouse. Don't spend a month worried about depressing things that keep you away from your spouse. When you renew your marital covenant, there is a oneness and a wholeness that happens, not just in the natural, but in the spirit. Because then all kinds of thoughts about, you know, insecurity can begin to show. So here she was, but this defeat in battle brought depression to the kingdom. Now Haman is second in command, and he's got the full authority of the king, okay? Not just is he second in command, but the king has given him his signet ring, and the signet ring is his voice, okay? It would be like Steve giving me all his credit cards. That ain't gonna happen. Right, yeah. But that would be what it would be like. And a stamp with his name to sign every check. Like, hey, whatever I say, that's going to happen, right? That's what it's like. Now, Haman's power for hunger now has come along, and it makes him want to be worshipped. What happened was, he's come into this power, so he's telling the king what he should do and what he shouldn't do. I believe it's because, listen with spiritual ears, please. I believe it's because Xerxes was depressed because he thought he'd lost something. Maybe he's in a middle-age crisis. I don't know. He's 45. Maybe all that stuff's coming on him. He's lost some money. He's lost a big defeat. Whatever it was that caused him to be depressed, it opened him up to let someone else take his power. You listen with spiritual ears? I got to stay focused on God and not the defeats that have happened to me, or I'm going to get depressed enough that I'll give my power to the enemy. Don't bargain with the devil because he's a liar. And in this world, there's some benign things that are happening that look really safe. Really, hey, that's kind of a cool idea. Let's do that. Hey, let's just begin to have a baseball practice for our kids on Wednesday night. Hey, let's begin to have soccer tournaments on Sunday morning. I mean, after all, it's the weekend and you work so hard and you can go to church anytime. We're just asking for this for one season. Sounds pretty reasonable. It got really like, ooh, I kind of got a wall between you and me. Let me just take that back. Yeah, it just seems so benign. You know, it's really not important that you go to church. If it's really not important to you, what do you think it's going to be to your kids? What do you think it's going to be to your neighbor? What do you think it's going to be to your employer? What do you think it's going to be to you when you get in the battle and you're depressed and the enemy says, God won't help you. You aren't even faithful to church. See, things appear really benign and wonderful, but in the end, he turns it like a knife on you. Because he wants to keep you depressed so he can still have your authority. So boy, here we are. We know from Esther 3, 2, and 4 that Haman wanted everybody to bow down to him. Well, when you want somebody to bow down to you, the word for that, pay homage, is really worship. And worship comes, guys, when people are generally in need, when somebody's in need. So we call out and we worship, we bow down, we pay homage to. But boy, at the gate, Mordecai wouldn't bow down, and it made Haman so mad because his pride was so big. So when he comes into this, he wanted someone to look to him. And I want to share with you three places in the Bible where we see that need is a form of worship, so you'll understand what I'm saying. In other words, he wanted the people at the gate to bow. Oh, Haman, we need this. Oh, Haman, will you help us? He wanted to be the guy. So we see that the leper worshiped God, and he said, Lord, help me. That was worship. We see that Jairus came, and he came to the Lord, and he said, if you'll just come to my house, my daughter will be healed. He wanted to involve him because he needed something. And we see that the woman from Tyre and Sidon, she cried out, Lord, help me, because she needed help. And God counted it as worship because she was bowed down to him in need. And I want to tell you something. Don't let your pride tell you that to bow down to God and call out for help is a form of something making you less than. That is the strongest, greatest place you're ever going to be in your life, because it is a time when you say, God, I worship you. God, I need you. I bow down before you and pay homage to you, that you're the only one who can help me through this situation. And he says that a broken spirit, a contrite heart and a broken spirit, he will never what, church? He will never deny. He will never forsake. He will never leave us. Always recognize that place. So we come into this. But here's the thing. Haman didn't just give him his ring. He gave him his ear. You with me? Whatever Haman said, because now Xerxes is a little depressed. He's a little feeling out of it. So now he's listening to whatever. Just let him make the decision. You go ahead. Husbands, don't do that to your wife. You make the decision. Now listen to her, because she's not stupid. Girls, there was a great opportunity there that was missed. But yes, why? Because a wife doesn't want the family to go down. A wife doesn't want to see people. We just want to share the good things that we have that we've learned. And if you don't, you need to love your husband more than you love yourself and give him that wisdom. And the men should have thanked me for that one, but we just keep moving. All right. Yeah, sometimes you just keep moving. So was Esther born then, out of all this situation, was Esther born to save Judah? Was that her purpose, to be a beauty queen and save Judah? No. Esther's purpose and your purpose and my purpose in this battle that we're in is to obey God. That's my purpose. Guys, I don't have to have a roadmap for what I need to do to get to the end of myself and have purpose. My purpose is to obey God. And if I obey God, I'm going to be on the right trip. I'm going to be on the right road at the right time, and whatever it is that makes me stop, I'm going to give God praise and glory for it. Do I get it right all the time? No. But is he bigger than me getting it wrong? Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Because I'm in a battle. You're in a battle. We're in a battle. Now, that's the present where we are. There's a saying that says the past is where you learn. The present is your gift. But the future should be your motivation. Well, I want to tell you something. I learned from the past, and I'm still in the present learning. But my future still belongs to the Lord, as did my past and my present. And whatever I've done wrong, God's going to turn it for good, and it's going to count for value. Because he's a God who redeems, restores, and delivers. And I want that power today. So now let's talk about being prepared for the plan of God. Because all along, God was in the detail. All along, God was positioning these painful things, allowing them. God is so mean. No, the enemy's mean. He plans it. He planted it to trip you up and to trip them up. But God says whatever the enemy intended for evil, what'll he do? Yes, thank you, Ken. You ought to be up here preaching with me. Yes, he'll turn it for good. And what does Romans 8:8 say? We know that all things, what, folks, work together for? Star next to you knowing the word, church. because that's how you're going to defeat the enemy. So he's not only, now God has not only said it, but he's bought it back with the blood of Jesus Christ. And soon there's going to be a time when the title deed to this earth is going to come back and he's going to be cast away forever. I'm ready. But I got to be prepared for the plan of God. So we've already settled that's going to come through obedience. First thing is, adversity has taught me to trust in God. God keeps telling me, Gay, everything you've been through, every place you've seen me in your life, you either heard the ear of those who were telling you how to do it by the culture's way and how to do it by their way, or you're staying in obedience to the word and to what I say. Now, before some of you get all freaked out and like, Gay, I don't know the word, like you know the word and whatever, stop it. You hear God. I don't have a scripture for everything. And if you're playing chapter verse with somebody, get off your pride and start living it and don't just quote it. Who said amen? Thank you. Yeah, I don't need a Bible quoter. I need a Bible liver. Deliver. Ooh, that was, never mind. Okay. So, adversity's taught me to trust God. But I'm still going to have adversity because I live in a fallen world. But also, I need to be prepared because all authority on earth must have its power from heaven. Here's a time to check. Put little check marks by these. Here's a time to check where my power's coming from. Do I really believe that lawmakers and government are going to be my savior? No. But does that mean that I just need to say, well, I'm just done, or should I pray? Pray. And don't pray hate. Pray with love. We got enough hate going on. We need to start being some beams of light and love and power, because love never fails. And then you have to realize, and this is the whole point of the message today, if God has all along been in my details. Somebody said to me, well, you know, if your daughter died, there's no hope for the rest of us. Because, you know, you're the pastor's wife. I want to tell you something about Leah. I think she was beautiful. And I do think she was a little bit spunky. And I do think she was definitely for the underdog. But maybe I should tell you something about Leah you don't know. Leah thought she was ugly. Leah lived every day of her life looking in a mirror and saying, I'm so ugly. Was that a lie? Yeah. But did she believe it? And so when the photographer had done her senior picture, and we decided to do it later because we had to save up the money. So when everybody else was getting them done, we didn't get them done. God in the details. Don't be whining. I didn't have the money. Listen to me. God in the details. So we had to wait and have her senior pictures done in February instead of in September and October when everybody else is having them. But guess what? They took her in a studio that was empty. And instead of the 30-minute time, they kept Leah for 3 hours until finally she said, I'm tired and I'm hungry and I want to go home. Because she could be gripey. I had to keep crackers in my purse. Her blood sugar would drop. And so they had changed her outfits, done all this stuff for her, and three different photographers had come in. I'm not paying any attention. I've just paid one price. Y'all do what you want. I'm going to take my choice, and I'm done. So they put her picture in Northeast Mall in display for this company at the time. Marcel's did these pictures, and they put her picture in there on display. And she comes home, and she is mad. She's like, Mom, get in the car. Where are we going? She said, Marcel's has put my picture in Northeast Mall. And I don't mean a little one, Mom. It's like big. And everybody's telling me about it. Oh, you're so pretty. You're in the mall. Mom, I look like a Klingon. Did you see the size of my head? I was like, what? So we get in the car. We go to the mall. I was like, Leah, this is beautiful. Mom, that, look at my forehead. Look at that hair standing up right there. It should be on the other side. Mom, look. All these people have seen me, because she thought she was so ugly. So I go down to Marcel's with her. Hey, she wants her picture down. The lady goes, you're kidding, right? I'm like, nope.
So Leah proceeds to tell her everything's wrong with her. Something was wrong with her fingernails. The cuticle was showing. I mean, she just had it down. And the lady said to her, I have parents who want to give me money to put their kids' pictures in Northeast Mall. And she goes, well, I'm not one of them. And I want you to take my picture down. And she said, Leah, you signed an agreement. When you signed to have this picture made, you said that we could use this picture in our books to show people different poses. Yeah, but not Northeast Mall. She said, Leah, I want you to know that the owner of this studio that has a studio in New York and Paris, they've already put your pictures in New York and Paris. And she's like, they need to send them back. And she's like, fuming mad. Now, she weighed, 90 pounds, but, So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, wow, my girls, wow, and I'm like, she's like mad, okay? So I want to tell you something. I'm not mad that God took Leah. I'm just mad he didn't take me with her. Because she's found her reward. And I told this to Steve, there's never a day that she's going to wake up and say, I'm ugly. There's never a day that she's going to say, why are all those people staring at me? When you say, because you're beautiful. Stop telling me that lie. See, we can all be deceived. But guess what? I thank God because that's a kid I never have to worry about again. Do I want her back? Some days. But not really, because she's happy. Because she's in her reward. I don't live for earth. I live for heaven. But I want all you to go with me, and I want everybody I don't even know to go with me too. That's to God be the glory. Here's the beauty. We get ready to have this service, and most of you know, that her body was pretty beat up from the car wreck. And they had to, keep touching up her body and stuff, and we'd put this lace over her. Shauna, you were so cute. Shauna thought it was like a princess theme, But it was because, it was hard to look at her, but we wanted an open casket. And so we're getting ready to do this, and I'm just like, I don't want to remember her like that, right? Because I saw her last in the body bag. So here's the beauty. I get a phone call. Miss Van Zandt? Yes. This is Marcel's studio? Yes. Remember those pictures we couldn't afford? I called the owner. We saw the article in the paper about Leah's death. We've contacted New York and Paris, and all Leah's pictures are going to be sent back to you. When's the service? I told her, and she said, we'll have all of them there for you. All those big, beautiful pictures we have with the gilded frames or the black modern frames and all the different poses, every one of those pictures came here for free because God took care of my details. He knew I could have never afforded that. But I want you to hear me. All authority must have its power from heaven. Because here's the most important thing I want you to hear today. God has set a limit on evil. I want you to say that after me. God has set a limit on evil.
Try it again.
You sound so good. And I want you to carry that in your heart. Because here's what happened. If you have a pew Bible, this is going to be on page 357. So Mordecai goes in, 356. Mordecai goes in and he says, hey, Haman's so mad, he's got the king's ring and an edict that they're going to kill all the Jews. Now, up to this time, Esther had not revealed who she was. Up to this time, maybe we've not revealed who we are. Up to this time, maybe you and I have not revealed who we are. But God is going to set a limit on evil. He always will. He's done it over and over. So he comes in and he stands at the gate and he says, hey, this hideous thing has happened. And he's taken off his nice clothes and putting on sackcloth, which is really burlap, and ashes to show that he's mourning. And he's at the gate and he tells the eunuch who serves Esther, he said, you need to go get her. I need to tell her something. We're in trouble. And they're trying to annihilate our people because it's been transcribed into 127 different languages, and the fastest couriers and messengers are being sent out to deliver it because, and this is where the word Purim comes from that the Jews celebrate, the poor, P-U-R, the lot has been cast, and the decision is that in the 13th month, which is basically 12 months from now, is the day we can go in and we're told to go kill them with the king's order. So he goes and tells her, and she's like, look, the king says he doesn't want anybody in sad clothes in here because he's still depressed. He just wants happy people around him. If you just want happy people around you, you're going to live your life by circumstances, and you're going to blame other people why you're not happy. And you're going to set a border for what will make you happy, and we don't even know what will make us happy. How could we tell God? You ever get a new car and just be so happy? And then a year later, you're like, I don't like that car? Yeah. I got two things I like on my car. A seat warmer and a sunglass holder. Don't ask me why. Two favorite things. Infuriates me that the bell dings when I don't put on my seatbelt. Don't you tell me when to put my seatbelt on. Don't you do it. Right? But here's the thing. Oh, I want that. I want that new television. I want that new whatever. And you can just afford it, and the price has dropped, and you get the new big TV. And the reason they dropped the price is because they're coming out with a newer, higher definition one. And somebody comes in your house and says, man, you ought to get the newer kind. Is that going to make you happy? No. If so-and-so wasn't in our lives, I'd be happy. Is that going to make you happy? No, be obedient to God wherever you are, and he will turn it. But quit giving the devil your ear and living in your circumstances for your joy. So, man, he comes along here, and she takes it into her, and she's like, well, you have to change. So she sends out these beautiful clothes because you need to come in here and tell me. And he's like, no, you go back and tell her I won't put on those clothes. I won't do it his way. I'm sad. They're trying to kill us. So he says, you tell her to get down here. Sometimes we get comfortable in the palace and we forget our places to listen to the voice of the Lord, even at the gate, not at the comfortable place, but to leave the comfortable place and pursue the voice of God. Somebody need to thank me for that one, because it's at the gate. It's at the door. He said, I am the door. You're going to come in, knock, seek, ask, seek, knock. Man, he's the one. And there's not a lock on the door either. So she gets down, she goes to the gate, and he tells her this. Look, if you've got that place, we're going to read it. And he says, she sends back the answer. Do not think that because you're in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. Now this, just follow, this is that verse where our text came from. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. Oh, you're a for such a time as this person. Why, girl, you need to know for such a time as this. I'm not a beauty queen, but I've been called to battle. And I believe that when we love people, it will triumph over evil and darkness. And you need to see Mordecai knew that God has set a limit over evil. And if the word says the seed of Abraham will be as the sands of the seas, he knew that the lion Haman could not kill and destroy the group of people. Though the edict had come down with the full authority, if the enemy makes you think that he has the full authority of any government on this earth, it does not matter, because we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he has set a limit on evil. I want you to say that over my life. God has set a limit over evil. I want you to quit believing the news. I want you to quit believing your feelings. I cannot tell you how fed up I am with hearing about feelings. I just don't feel I can trust. I just don't feel I should do that. I just do what God says. Obey what God's telling you to do, even if you don't feel like it. Can I just tell you, I've done some really stupid things that have turned out to be wonderful because I trusted God. I heard the Lord say one day, well, you know, I hate telling these things, but I'm going to, just wasted 20 seconds there. Okay, so one day I'm praying, and I heard the Lord say, I want you to get a pizza, and I want you to take it to the high school, and I want you to send it to the teacher's lounge. Two teachers that I knew had their break that were my kids' teachers, I'm like, whatever, okay. And it doesn't mean I don't roll my eyes at God, because I'm a teenager to God. So got in the car, took the pizza, I'm getting out, and there's this girl there. She's coming out, and I recognized her because she wasn't really a good friend of my girls, but I knew her from some of their classes. So I was like, hey, how's it going? And the Lord said, she's the one you're here for. And I said, hey, could you take this pizza back to the teacher's lounge? She goes, sure, and she was real friendly. I said, you know, I just want you to know, I believe the Lord sent me here today just to tell you. I think it was all about you, just to tell you how much he loves you. And she manifested on me with a snarl, and she goes, don't you talk to me about God. I was like, and I was like, what? And in my mind, I'm thinking, you're going to get reported to the office. They're going to get rid of you. You're going to be banned from the campus. You're going to cause embarrassment on your girls. Probably in 15 seconds, I was already banned from America. And she's like mad and everything. And so I heard the Lord say, are you afraid of her? And I just looked at her and I said, I want you to know there's nothing but love in my heart for you. Don't tell me about love, you Christians. You make me sick. I don't believe in God. And I said, if you don't believe in God, honey, you wouldn't even have to tell me that. You'd just smile and laugh at me like I'm an idiot. And I just said, I want you to know one day you're going to need to know you're loved and you're going to see what love is. And I hope you find it. I got in the car. She's in her 30s now. But through someone else, she told them, there was a day when their mom pulled up in the parking lot and I hated everybody and everything. And I've been used and I've been abused and I did everything my way, but I couldn't get away from that woman saying to me, there's a day you're going to know, need to know that you're loved, and I want you to know God loves you. And she said, I could not get away from that. She is serving God now, not because of me, please hear me, but because of obedience to God. Did I do it right? Did I do it pretty? No. But it's because I'm not a beauty queen. I'm in a battle. But don't kid yourself. If we love him, we are going to suffer some things in this world. But I love what Paul finished up with. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. Didn't say I came in first place. Didn't say I'm pretty. Didn't say I did it all right. But he said, I have fought the good fight. You are in a fight because you are alive with the Spirit of God in you. And the enemy wants to snuff you out. But God has set a limit on evil. And we're going to declare it today. Don't tell me why it won't work. All you need to do is make time to obey God. Because God has set a limit on evil. If it matters, you're going to make time for it. If whatever your it is, you'll make time for it. Is your it today that you're depressed? Is your it that you're mad at God because you didn't get something you wanted? Let me tell you something. There were many times my kids were mad at me because they didn't get what they wanted, and I was mad at God because I couldn't give it to them. How's that for truth? I remember when Leah was in kindergarten, and I was just like, God, please let me just get her some nice tennis shoes. I just want her to have some nice tennis shoes. So, man, I'm going to put, Nikes on my baby. Yeah, I go up there, and there is like, you can't compete with movie stars. When we lived in Manhattan Beach, it was like, I was so embarrassed, and I thought I'd moved up. And they're walking in with leather skirts and diamond necklaces. I'm not kidding you. Those little girls had full carat diamond earrings in their ears. And I forgot to put mine on today, so there you go. I just felt it's like, ooh. So here's the thing. I'm in there, and the teacher stops the class, and she goes, would you stand up? You may have heard me tell this story on a Mother's Day. And I'm terrified because here's Charity in the outfit I got from the Carter Outlet store and the Nike Outlet store and charged it on a credit card because, bless God, my baby's going to look good the first day of school. And we're sitting there with those Angora sweaters and those young men that had their hair done by stylists. And I'm just like stunned with au pairs and nannies pulling up in Rolls Royce. And we're on a walking across the street because we live in the fellowship hall of the church. And praise God for it. So she calls her up to the front of the class and she said, "Everyone, this is what your child needs to look like when she comes to school." And Leah's like, Terry's like, "I'm so proud of me today." And I was like, "Oh God, thank you." And I'm just, you know, about to bawl in the back of the class. Don't ever, ever doubt that the thing that you think is meant to humble you and make you look bad, God's not going to turn it for your good, because if it's for His glory, I don't have to worry about how I look, right? It's always been the hardest times that are going to make us and reveal who we are. Are we freakers or seekers? Are we wimps and whiners or are we warriors? Who's got my ear today? Because who has ever got my ear is going to have my heart. That's why it's so important who your relationships are with. And I don't care if you young people like it or not. There's a reason a parent said, "I don't like that kid." And it's not because we're prejudiced. It's because I got built-in spiritual alarm bells that go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Red alert, red alert. I'm like, hey, you ain't going out with them unless I'm going. And you need to be glad about that, because your filter isn't mature enough to know the difference between what's good and what's bad. And mine, as a 61-year-old woman, still isn't good enough to know what's good and what's bad at the top. Because I'm thinking, for such a time as this means beauty queen, and he's trying to get my attention and say, "You're being called to battle. Wake up. It's not about a crown on earth. It's about a crown in heaven, and a crown, by the way, that I'm going to take off and lay at his feet and say, anything that was good about me was you, Dad. It was you." It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to you. Doesn't matter what the world say, and until we get to the point where it doesn't matter, we're going to be chasing after whatever the world says has value. And I ache and I hurt because I'm watching people settle for it and then be disappointed because it doesn't bring them joy. If your joy is based on a thing, it's not eternal. Is my joy based on this? That though they slay me, I will believe. Is my joy based on this? I want you to turn to Mark 9. We're going to look at verses 23, really 22 through 25. And in, let's see, I'm not even going to tell you what page it's on in your pew Bible if you don't have it, but Mark 9. Thank you. This dad, what point are my actions going to put my faith in or my fear? This dad comes and he says, this son of mine, he's often thrown, this demon that's possessing him has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. See, some of you think that because you have doubt mixed with your faith, God won't hear you. Let's put that to rest today. He says, thank you, it is a lie. He says, if you can, said Jesus, everything's possible for one who believes. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, this is verse 24, because I give it to God all the time. Mark 9:24. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Now when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit and he said, you deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again. Why? Because the enemy's coming in like a flood, and all the people are coming around for the looky-looks, because everybody wants the miracle Annette had to have your computer coming on in the middle of the night. But let me tell you, it's happening. We're in the prayer room as a staff getting ready to pray, and my Siri comes on and starts talking to me. Right. And I'm like, what is that? And And I'm in the car, and a song comes on, and Annette tells me my computer woke up. I'm all for singing Wake Up the Giant in Me, but I want you to wake up the King David in you, the little scared thing that says it was a lion and it was a bear, but the lion and the bear prepared me for the giant. I'm saying you take what little you have, and you begin to wake up, because God has set a limit on evil. And that's when Esther woke up and got in agreement with it. And this is where we know that she was following after the things of God, because she said, everybody's going to fast for 3 days. That wasn't just no ritual. She understood that. It was understood that prayer comes with the fasting. It was understood that because it was unto the Lord. It was understood that they were talking about the promises of God. And no matter if anybody takes away from you the promises of God or uses religion as a bat over your head for how you need to do it or talks to you about generational curses, it's all a lie, because the blood is the blood is the blood, and it's greater than my failure, and it's greater than a generational curse, and it's greater than sin, and it's greater than sickness. And who's going to stand up and believe with me that God has set a limit on sin today, and enough's enough? I want you to stand with me today, and I'm not kidding. God has set a limit on sin. And here's the thing. God has set the limit on evil over your life and mine. Now here's the question. Am I going to obey God, or am I going to let my pride get in the way? Because I want you to come to the altar. As a church, I want you to come to the altar. Well, you know, Gay, I never go to the altar. You know, Gay, that's kind of for weak people. When I'm weak, he's strong. Do you want to stay weak? Do you want to get strong? Really, I'm just tired of playing games. Tired of hearing people say they want God, and then they go home and tell him how to do it, and are mad at him if they don't do it his way. And I know that those of you who are here, that's your heart. I could go down this line and tell miracles that have happened over every one of you. Helen, how can I not look at you and know that it's a miracle you're alive? Deanna, how could I look at you and not know it's a miracle that they've tried to label you with at least 3 different diseases and God's proved them all wrong? How can I not look at this crowd, Julia, and know that your faith is with God? How can I not look at you, David or Donna, and know that you're still fighting, but because you recognize I'm in a battle, but I've won? Lindy, Becca, come on. I mean, there was a day when people told you what you couldn't do, and honey, you went ahead and got the degree anyway. Don't tell me what I can't do. God will turn it. I can look at each of you in this room and say that, but I'm asking you today, will you believe? Will you believe? And there's hope for you if you can, because verse 24 says, Lord, even if I don't, help my unbelief. I believe, God, but help my unbelief. Do you want to be set free today? Do you want to be set free today? Then let's just begin to worship him. Yes, let's just begin to worship him. I want you just to sing that song. We're just going to worship him. I have, and I want you to help my unbelief. God, I believe today that you set a limit over sin, and now I want to be set free. I'm going to get in obedience to you. I'm giving my ear back to you, and I'm taking back the authority I gave to the devil in letting him tell me how I should do things. And now, God, I'm going to give that obedience to you. Right now, God, I want to be set free. Guys, I can't pray it for you. Nobody's going to lay hands on you and speak a word of knowledge. I want you to begin to say, God, I believe right now. I believe. Let's sing It Is Well with my soul. Yes. Do you hear it?
With my soul.
It's not about somebody else. They don't need to fix you. Nobody else can hold you back from God's love.
With my soul.
You're going to have what God says you can have, no matter if you have blown it every day of your life. I call forth redemption over the places where you are believing for God. Redeem this mess, God. Lord, we're going to be a people who are going to obey you, and we're going to trust you, and we're going to have victory. And I thank you today, God, that you've set a limit on this. You've even set a limit on his time on earth, and we're going to be healed. I'm telling you right now, the person who took your job from you did you a favor, because you're going to be aligned by God without being in that kind of a torment situation, satisfied to settle for some money and torment with it. God wants to bless you with an income without the torment. Praise you, Jesus. All glory to God. Lord, today over our nation, I will not see destruction. I will see an invitation for the Spirit of God to take over. I'm calling out, Lord, on behalf
of
every leader, not a label, every leader in this country, I speak life over them. Holy Spirit, begin to breathe into every leader, great or small, in this country, that it may be well with us, God, that we may live in peace, God. Bring love, God, where there's revenge and vindication. Bring love. Love never fails. Today, God, we're going to hear your voice. Label. Honey, when we get to heaven, all labels will be removed. So let's say this together. Father, take the limit off my faith and release heaven's word. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Today, Dad, I'm going to obey you. Give my ear to your voice by what I read in your word and what I hear by your Spirit. Forgive us today, God. Any place where love has not been, including for me, I receive your love and I will give your love. Thank you. You have set a limit on evil, and we are victorious. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to leave that burden. I want you to leave that fear, and I want you to begin to know this. God has already answered your prayer. We're just going to walk into it and see it, and we're going to give some wonderful testimonies. Guys, Annette's testimony should just be the appetizer for the banquet he's spreading before you in front of your enemies, because God's faithful. Amen. I want to see some love happening at this altar, and I want to thank you again, guys, for praying for Steve and believing for him. He's going to be better than ever, so I encourage you next week, be here to hear the word. Amen. He's faithful. Amen.